Welcome to the Lesbian Book Club with Claire Lydon. Please enjoy the podcast from My Lesbian Radio.
So this episode of the Lesbian Book Club, we're going to be talking to the very lovely Cindy Rizzo. Cindy has so far published two novels, Exception to the Rule and Love is Enough, the first of which won a Goldie for Best Debut in 2014, which is the highest accolade in lesfic. So well done, Cindy. And I first met Cindy when she very kindly read through an early draft of my first book, London Calling, and gave me some great feedback. I love Cindy's writing, and we share a love of the Indigo Girls too, so we are bonded, aren't we, Cindy?
Absolutely. We also spent some time together in England over the summer going to Elfest.
Yeah.
That was fun.
We did. We spoke on the Elfest Independent Authors Panel, which was a great time, wasn't it?
Yeah, a lot of fun.
And Cindy got her face painted and learnt new drinking games, and it was a whole experience, wasn't it?
I know. Now everyone thinks I'm this party girl. Well, I have this incredibly boring life. But when they saw those pictures, they got a whole different idea of me.
Oh yeah, I think it's always there, Cindy. So you're based in New York City. How's New York today?
Right now it's fine. Mm-hmm. The temperatures aren't too bad, but we are expecting. What they're saying is possibly a foot of snow on Tuesday.
Right, okay.
And everybody is bracing for that now.
Yeah. Will you still be able to get to work, or will you be able to pull a snow day?
Yeah, if the office is open, I can go. I mean, the subway takes you right there.
Right.
It's really about whether school's closed. Everybody is gearing up for that.
Yeah. And you've had a good weekend so far?
Yes, it's been nice. I went to the theater and saw my sister, and it's been lovely.
Cool. And you saw the Book of Mormon, yeah?
I did. It was great.
Yeah, I've seen that. It's an awesome show. So let's talk about your writing, Cindy. You published your first novel, Exception to the Rule, in 2013. Is that right?
2013? Correct. Yes.
Yeah. So tell me a bit about how you came to write it and your decision to self-publish the novel.
Well, I came to write it because I had about 50 pages of this novel that I'd written begun in around 1990 about three young women in college who already knew they were lesbians but came from very different backgrounds and had very different feelings about what it meant to them to be a lesbian. And I wanted to explore that kind of arc of coming into your own adulthood as a lesbian and not a coming out story. But I didn't know what the plot should be. I sort of had the characters and the setting.
Yeah.
And then I started to read lesbian fiction, which I'd read a good deal many years ago, but then hadn't really read anything in the most recent kind of resurgence of what we call lesbic.
Yeah.
And I began to read romance novels. And as I read and read them, I was learning a lot. And then I went online and started talking to authors and other people and realized there was this whole community of women, readers and writers of what they were calling lesfic. So I got more and more interested in that. And then I realized that old novel I had could really become a romance, because I knew anyway that two of the three girls would end up together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started really learning about the romance genre and the structure of it. And I went back to the novel. I actually tore my house apart looking for it, and I did find it. I had it on hard copy. I didn't have anything online.
I was going to say, what form was it in? Was it typed up, or was it in a notebook? Or
it was typed up, which was great, but probably the original was saved on floppy disks, which is an outdated
I remember them
storage, you know, kind of mechanism. And so even if I'd found any electronic copy of it, it probably wouldn't have done me any good. But I ended up scanning it in and then being able to use the text recognition software. So I did a little sort of Adobe magic with it. And most of it was like, come back into Word, and I was then able to work on it and add to it, and then it became a book eventually. In terms of self-publishing, I had the manuscript, I had it read by some people, it felt ready to me, and I was learning about the publishers, and I realized if I submit this to a publisher, it's going to be another year before it'll be on their list to release. And I just didn't want to wait. I thought, this book is ready to be released in 2013.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'd had some feedback from other lesbian writers who'd read it and were indie writers and said, go ahead and do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I did.
Yeah.
And it came out at the end of November of 2013.
Yeah. And how was that whole process of self-publishing for you? Did you enjoy it, or was it, what were those challenges in it?
I would say.
Yeah.
But I found really good people to work with. I worked with two editors, one that did the first go through, and then one that did the final go through, and then the formatting of it.
Mm-hmm.
And every decision I had to make about all of this was, you know, felt really difficult. But then sort of light dawned after a while, like the cover. I went through all these iterations of looking at stock photos and all of this, and then realized, oh, my brother-in-law is a graphic designer and an artist, and why haven't I asked him?
Yeah.
So I did, and yeah. He ended up doing the cover,
mm-hmm.
Both books, and I loved both covers.
Yeah.
So it made me realize that sometimes, you know, the answer to your problem is sort of right in front of you.
Yeah.
About it that way.
Yeah, and it is good getting friends involved, I think, as well. This is your brother-in-law, did you say it was, who did yours?
My wife's brother is gay, and this is his partner, his
right.
husband.
Okay, yeah. Cool, yeah. And but for it was all an absolute triumph, because the book went on to do really well, and you won a Goldie, as I said, which is awesome. So were you expecting to win the Goldie when you did?
No, I mean, I nominate, you know, you self-nominate or these books, or your publisher does if you work with a publisher.
Yeah.
And then I wanted it to be a finalist in the debut author category, and then it was, and I kind of felt like, all right, that I'm very happy with that. And I went to Portland to the conference that the Golden Crown Literary Society holds every year. And I really didn't expect to win. They send you an email if you're a finalist, and they say, you know, put together a 90-second thank you just in case you're called up, and then you'll be prepared. So I did that. I was in my room, and I wrote out a list of people I didn't want to forget to thank.
Mm-hmm.
And I just put it in my pocket and forgot about it. And then they do three awards in that category. It always depends on how many finalists they have, and that determines how many awards they give out. So in that category, there were three. And the first two were called. And I had two friends in the category who were also finalists. And my dream was that the three of us would win.
Yeah, sure.
And but the first two were called out. Neither of my friends were those, and I wasn't either. And I turned to Jennifer, my wife, and I said, I didn't win this. And I was the third name called. So I guess that answers the question about expectations. I sort of thought, all right, you know, it's going to be one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was thrilling. It really was.
And did you manage to hold it together and to read those words that you had in your pocket?
I have to say, there weren't a speech. They were just a list. And I was so glad I had done that.
Mm.
Because I knew that in that moment when everything... And there's, you know, Karen Callmaker and Catherine Forrest are the ones giving me the award.
Yeah.
So you can imagine, as, you know, here they both are, you know, the legend and the queen of romance handing me my award, and I'm thinking, oh my God, just getting up there and, you know, seeing them was enough. So, it was a pretty intense moment, and I was glad I had those names.
Yeah. And did you, and have you snapped pictures for posterity?
I do have some photos that someone took, yeah, and yeah. they're up on Facebook. Other photos from that night, which were really fun.
Yeah, no, it must have been great to be there as well, because I know when I was chatting to HP, I think she won at the same ceremony, didn't she? But obviously she lives in Scotland, so she couldn't get over there, HP Monroe.
That's right. Yeah. Jay was there from Germany, and she won her anthology, one of the anthologies she edited won, and I think she was quite excited about that.
Yeah.
We have a photo of the two of us with our awards. So,
cool.
So that was...
So, and the Goldies, of course, as you said, they're a yearly occurrence, and I think they're in New Orleans this year, aren't they?
That's right.
Would you encourage UK lesfic authors and readers to go along?
I would. You know, I love the idea of this becoming a more global kind of event. And I know, not this year, but in 2016, they're having the conference in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. which I know that some of the ILVA people are going to go from Germany, and mm-hmm. That might be the year that it becomes even more accessible for folks in the U.K.,
yeah,
in 2016, because D.C. is a very, you know, there's a lot of flights. It probably won't cost as much as going to New Orleans. So that might be the year to break out everybody from all over.
Okay, so everyone should start saving now, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And when is it? What month is it? Is it always in the same month?
Or? Usually July.
July. Right, okay.
It's the end of July this year, and so I don't know that I would actually tell anyone to go to New Orleans at the end of July. It's so hot.
Oh, really? Is
but
it really?
I think, you know, the con is great, and it was so much fun for me, and it was so great to meet people and spend time with them. So it was definitely worth it.
Yeah, okay. And after the huge success of your first novel and winning the award, how did you find the process of writing book two? And do you think that put more pressure on you writing that one?
What the timing was. By the time I was writing, when I won the award, I had written a bunch of book two already, because it came out in September. Mm-hmm. So actually it was all written.
Right, okay.
And it was with the editor, I think, at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't feel like I was working under some kind of pressure about the award.
Okay.
But, you know, it does make it, you just feel like, oh, you know, is book two going to be as popular as book one? Are people going to think of it the same way? It's hard. It's, you know, that kind of sophomore thing of, you know, you break out in a really big way and then, you know, you're wondering if you're going to be able to repeat that.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a scene in book two where one of the characters is asked to sing the lines from Galileo, Indigo Girls song Galileo, as a test.
That's right.
How did you come up with that? Is that something you've ever done in real life?
No, I haven't. It was in my imagination.
Okay.
I had this idea, and there's a little bit an exception to the rule that the two main characters and their best friend, who becomes the main character in the second book, all love the Indigo Girls.
Right.
Because that was the time period. The time period of exception to the rule is the mid-90s.
Yeah.
And that would have been a group in that era that young lesbians would have been excited about. I guess now would be maybe like Tegan and Sarah.
Yeah.
Luckily, I was glad, because I know the Indigo Girls and I love their music, and I don't keep up as much as with more current music as probably I should. So it was easy to do that. Plus, one of my main characters, an exception to the rule, Tracy, is from the South. So I think she would be excited about the Indigo Girls being from Georgia, and sort of, you know, this idea that there's two lesbians from the South who have such recognition.
Yeah.
And talent. So, so that's why I felt like that would be a fun thing. And then I thought, well, you know, what would be a funny way for Angie to take her new girlfriend, Jan, to meet her friends?
Mm-hmm.
And this whole idea that they're the ones she has to really bring the girlfriend to pass the test.
Yeah, pass the test. I mean, I mean, I'm a huge fan of the Indigo Girls and that song, but I think I would be nervous singing in front of a load of new people.
I know.
Oh dear. So, and I'm, as you say, that you self-publish your first two novels, as I've self-published mine. But for your next project, you've signed up with a publisher for that one. So tell me a bit about your decision to do that.
Yeah, sure. I work full time, and when I did Love Is Enough, when I wrote it and released it, so much time is spent doing promotion. And I was always on the fence about whether I should remain indie or go with a publisher. And a friend of mine said, "You're not going to be happy until you figure out how to deal with this dilemma you've got and just go with a publisher." And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. Maybe the whole idea for me is to do both. Is to experience, I know already what the indie experience is and what the pluses and minuses are for me. Maybe I should do the same with a publisher. And then I had to decide, okay, which of the lesbian publishers did I want to speak with?
And did you go to a couple of different ones, or was it quite an easy choice, which publisher to go with?
It ended up feeling like an easy choice. I had a conversation, this has always been in the back of my mind. So I had a conversation with one at the conference in Portland, which was a decent conversation, although I had some reservations about what to do and even to go with a publisher at that time because I really hadn't made a decision. And then I had a story accepted into the Holiday Anthology, as you did as well. I loved your story,
Thank
called
you.
Unwrap These Presents, that Ilva published. And they do a lot of anthologies. And one of the good things about them, there are many good things about them, but one of them was that they take authors from all over. So you could be published with them or with another publisher or be an indie. They're sort of agnostic on the question. They just want good stories in their anthologies. And I like that they're not just pulling from their own roster of people.
No, I agree. As you said, we both had a story in that Christmas or holiday anthology, and I was impressed with that because they could just pick all their own people.
So, I think that that's a really good thing. And I worked with them through that process with Astrid, who is the main publisher there, the owner of the company, and with the editors. And I thought it was a good experience, the whole thing. I felt very much respected, and I enjoyed the time I spent talking to them. I had met Jay, who's a senior editor there in Portland, and enjoyed spending time with her as well. So they also don't have the right of first refusal in their contract, which a lot of authors, have very mixed feelings about. Some are fine with it, and others aren't. And that basically says that, well, they accept the book that you've submitted to them. They also want the right to a first refusal to review anything you write in the future. And that kind of locks you in, or at least puts the work in their corner for a while, and doesn't give you the immediate freedom of what you want to do with the work. So that felt a little bit too much to me, and I decided that I wanted to look at publishers that didn't have that requirement, and Ilva doesn't. But, and then the last thing I guess I would say about Ilva is I'm kind of intrigued by the fact that they're not an American publisher, that their reach is really, they look at the whole world. They're signing up a bunch of Australians, and they've got Fletcher in Portugal, and Jay, of course, in Germany. So I feel like they have that kind of vantage point and that they look at the market that way. And that kind of intrigued me as well. And that they're not the only publisher. Some of the American ones have folks who are outside of the US, but the fact that they're based outside the US kind of was an interesting idea for me.
And I guess I had thought about that. Quite unusual, really, because all the other big lesbian publishers are based in America. So, yeah, it's more of an unusual step, I suppose.
Yes, definitely. And they're growing. That's the other thing, I guess.
Yeah, they do seem to be signing up a lot of people.
There's there's a real sense of momentum there. So that was why I chose them. And like I said, this is what I'm doing with this project, and we'll see what happens in the future. I mean, I've got to finish this book before I have to worry about the future after.
Yeah. One thing at a time. So, exactly. So what are you working on now? What can we expect from your next book? What's it about? And do you know roughly when it's be coming out?
They'd like it out for the con in New Orleans, so I'm supposed to finish it soon. I'm in the middle of it, so there's a chunk of it that's already been written.
Mm-hmm.
That is one thing with a publisher. You're locked into a timetable, so you've got to just get yourself moving.
Yeah.
And that's something I'm needing to get used to.
Okay.
But I think that this new book is the way I approach most of the stories and the novels I've written is kind of creating this universe of characters, all of whom are connected in some way or another,
mm-hmm.
and some step back in some books and some step forward in other books. So this new book is actually the story, it's a second chance at romance subgenre, which is, you know, two people who had some connection early in their lives,
yeah.
Which is cut short for various reasons, reconnect later on.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the first one of that type I've written. This is about two women, Elizabeth Morrison, who is a publisher. She owns a publishing company. And Ruth Abramson, who's a federal judge.
Wow.
In the U.S. system. At the trial court level. And they were lovers in college in the 1970s. And Ruth comes from what was then the Soviet Union. And she and her parents, they were Soviet Jews. They snuck out of the Soviet Union to come to America. And before there was a mass emigration of Jews from the Soviet Union, and her father was seen because of that as a national hero.
Right. Okay.
So there's a lot of pressure from the family about expectations for Ruth, and so basically Ruth ends up ending the relationship with Elizabeth and marrying a man.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The book begins when it's the 30th college reunion, and Elizabeth's friend, who is heading up the reunion committee, decides that Ruth should be asked to come and be the luncheon speaker for their class.
Okay, and then the flame is reignited.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, basically, this is a very interior book. It's a very introspective book, and it's written from Elizabeth's point of view
mm-hmm.
only.
Okay.
And so the idea is what Elizabeth has to go through
mm-hmm.
to really think about what she wants to do. And the title of the book is Getting Back, and it's a play on words because either she's going to be getting back with Ruth or getting back at Ruth.
Right, okay.
And read
the book to find the outcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, that sounds intriguing, yeah.
Yeah, so, it's interesting to me. I read something on Refuseniks, the Soviet Jews, and so I had a bit of that history that I understand now, and it's been fun.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about these characters and writing, and they're older women, which is unusual in lesfic. So some of the book is in when they're in college, but a lot of it takes place in their 50s.
Okay, right. And you said that you're sort of partway through the book now. So how describe your writing process to me? I mean, do you have certain times that you write better, and where do you write, and how do you write?
I write at home mostly. Sometimes I'll sneak a little at work on my lunch hour or something. But I use this program called Scrivener,
mm-hmm.
Which is a desktop program. So it's mostly at home. And, I tend to write a lot at night. which is so unusual for me because I'm not a night person. I'm really a morning person. But somehow my mind goes there in terms of the writing process at night.
Right.
So I just kind of let it, because if that's what's working, that's what's working.
So when you say night, is that, do you mean like, you know, 8 o'clock at night or sort of 10 o'clock, midnight?
I might start at 8 and just keep going.
Right. Okay, that's interesting, isn't it? Because if you say you don't normally do that.
Yeah, I just think it's about what part of your brain you're using or something. I don't know.
Right. So you write mainly in your flat?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's-
and how long do you think it takes you, do you know, on average, how long does it take you to write a book, say, from start to edit?
I would say probably 4 to 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
This one I've got to move more quickly on, but, you know, like I said, I've got a whole bunch of it written already, so
yeah,
I've just got to push through.
Yeah. And have you got, like, books planned for after that as well now, or?
Yeah, I do. I have another romance that I'd like to do, also with sort of characters from this universe, that were in Love is Enough, and then one that's more of a historical romance, where a good part of the book takes place in the 1960s during the Civil Rights era.
Okay.
In the South, and which is an era that I'm really interested in and would love to write about.
Yeah, no, it's a really a lot of rich ground covering that one, that era as well.
Yeah.
and you and I are big fans of And Playing the Role of Herself by K.E. Lane, which has garnered great reviews around the globe. Do you have any plans to write anything like that, you know, Hollywood based? I know that you're a fan of that subgenre.
Yeah, I am. I'm a very big fan. It's possible. There's a character in this new book who's a publicist in Los Angeles and Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
So there might be some story that is involved with her.
You're right.
That comes into my head at some point.
Okay. Yeah, so, I'd love to read your take on that, Cindy, so I'd encourage that.
Me too.
And just a few sort of questions to finish off. What was the last lesfic book you read? Do you know?
And Playing the Role of Herself.
Oh, really?
We were talking about it online, and as you know, you participated in that discussion.
I did.
So I thought I needed to reread it.
Oh.
And I was so glad I did, because I learned so much more in the second reading. You know, it's just like anything where the first one, especially in that book, you're reading for plot. You just want that story.
Mm.
And I couldn't get enough of that book when I read it the first time. And then when I reread it, it wasn't quite a leisurely pace, because I still read it pretty quickly, but I was looking for different things, because I knew what was going to happen and what, you know, they were going through. But I wanted to know, why do I love this book so much, and why do my friends love this book so much?
Yeah, I was going to say, are you being serious that was only the second time you've read the book?
You know, it's so many books, so little time. I Kindle and you know, I need to buy and all of that.
Yeah, I actually didn't reread it for the thing, because I just didn't get around to it. But I will get around, because I haven't read it for quite a while. So, but it is.
How many times have you read it, Claire?
Oh, I don't know. Possibly, possibly like I don't know, approaching double figures.
Oh, really? The whole thing? Oh, yeah. That's great.
Don't tell anyone, right? And which words or phrases do you find you most overuse in your writing and in your general life?
Oh, geez. In my writing, I think I get the word "look" comes up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she turned and looked, or you know, they looked at each other. And, you know, you try to vary that. The thesaurus is my favorite writing tool, I have to say.
Yeah.
I think that I do that a lot in eyes as well.
Mm-hmm.
When you're being in someone's eyes. So I think those are the kinds of things that are that I try to guard against.
Mm-hmm.
I look at something, you know, a second or third time. so that I'm not overusing words.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are the kinds of things that, and then there are things that I think, oh no, I said that in the last book. I can't say that again. I can't even remember what it was, but I remember writing this current book and thinking, oh no, I can't say that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean with that one. Yeah, I think I've had a conversation with another author. I think it might have been Angela Peach, and she was saying that, yeah, you do have to flick through your old books and think, now, have I written that sentence somewhere before? I don't know, but yeah, I guess.
It was funny because my character Tracy is in this new book, and I was describing her clothing from Elizabeth's point of view, and I had her wearing a periwinkle blouse, and I went back to exception to the rule because I was worried that I had her wearing a periwinkle blouse there. And it turned out no, she wasn't. But that's the kind of thing.
What is a periwinkle blouse?
Periwinkle is like a purplish lilac kind of bluish color.
Okay, there you go. I've learnt a new word today. Periwinkle.
So I was trying to make sure that, you know, she wasn't wearing the same blouse.
Right, yeah. You'd have to be a keen, eagle-eyed reader to get that, though, wouldn't you? But some people would, yeah.
Yeah.
And final question, if you could be the love child of any two writers, alive or dead, who would you choose?
Oh, my, I forgot about that. You know, I love Thomas Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in high school, I read Jude the Obscure, and it just was such an important book to me at that age. And I guess I would also choose, it would be a tie between either Jhumpa Lahiri, the South Asian writer who's based in the U.S.
Okay.
Or Audre Lorde.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know how either of them would do with Thomas Hardy. They might be better with each other.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I was just thinking maybe Thomas could be their house guest, you know.
Yes.
Oh, dear. Well, it's been fab talking to you, Cindy. Thank you very much for taking the time. And,
well, Claire, thank you for having me here. No, this was fun.
It was great, great having you on. And we'll speak again soon.
Okay.
Have a good rest of your day.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye. So that's the end of this Lesbian Book Club, and this is me, Claire Lydon, signing off. Remember, if you fancy dipping into any of my books, London Calling or The Long Weekend, you can find out more about them at www.clairelydon.co.uk or just look me up on Amazon. See you in February for more book club action.